We're doing the laws of Shabbos, and we were in the middle of a discussion of the rabbinic expansions of the laws of Shabbos, what's classified as a shvut. And we continue. Even though a rabbinic prohibition is also severe. Nonetheless, it is important to understand what's prohibited biblically and what's prohibited solely from a rabbinic institution. We very often will find ourselves with a distinction in davar sumna Torah rak mit rabbanan. It will make a difference whether the prohibition is biblical or rabbinic. For example, v'ayinu kigon minkom sakana. Let's say there's a danger lurking. Even though in a situation of danger, one is permitted to transgress biblical prohibitions as well. Nonetheless, when we have a choice, whether to transgress a biblical or rabbinic prohibition, we obviously choose, we prefer, if we have a choice between the two, we would prefer to transgress a rabbinic over a biblical prohibition. That's one example of a distinction why it would be important to know what's prohibited biblically or rabbinically. Sometimes you have to do something. There's a sick patient in the room, and you have to do something to service the patient. A woman's giving birth. But you could do the same thing in a manner that's biblically prohibited or rabbinically prohibited. If you do it in an unusual way, if you do it with a shinoy or kalahar yad, this past Friday night, a guy came knocking on the door in the rush of preparing for Shabbos. He plugged in the platum and came back 20 minutes later and he feels on top of the platum, everything's hot. He puts all his food on top of the platum. He comes back from shul Friday night only to discover that he has a sandwich maker in the drawer under the platum. And when he plugged in, he mistakenly plugged in the sandwich maker, not the plata. The sandwich maker was so hot that he felt the heat above the hot plate. So he felt it warm, but obviously that's not going to heat up his food, and it is a fire hazard in the house, aside from being hazardous to the kids. So he has to get that out of the plug on Shabbos, because otherwise he's got a danger of a fire in his house. How do you do that? So if he would be able to, let's say, do it in an unusual way. Let's say he could, he could tie the cord around the broom and kick the broom, and that would pull the cord out of the socket. So that would be a rabbinic, not a biblical prohibition. So you see, if he has enough time to analyze and think of how to do it, he could find a way to do it that would only be rabbinic and not biblical. So although we say both are prohibited, but if I'm going to have to do one, I choose the rabbinic over the biblical one. Or kilachar yad, as we discussed earlier, that's another way of making something rabbinically but not biblically prohibited. Yesh la'asot boto ofen mikodem shosim b'derech shasu min ha'Torah. So we do it that way rather than do it in a way that's biblically prohibited. So soldiers are driving and they come back to base. Now the question is, it's Shabbos. They had to go on patrol, so they did what they had to do. Now they're coming back. They're going to have to take things out of the car. Okay, but now there's no pikuach nefesh. They could think about, how do I do it in a way that's not biblically prohibited, only rabbinically prohibited? How do I do things in a way that I won't cause more lights to turn on? When they're on patrol, they have to be focused on the patrol. They can't be thinking about what lights they're turning on and off. But now they're back on base. It's just a question of unloading the car. So very often they have the time to think things through. And then when they could do it in a manner that's rabbinic, then we do it that way. So this is something which comes up often. We have circumstances where we would look for the rabbinically prohibited as opposed to the biblically prohibited way of doing something when we're going to have to do it on Shabbos. The same is true when we ask a non-Jew to do something on our behalf. Sometimes there will be a distinction whether I'm asking the non-Jew to do something that's biblically prohibited or rabbinically prohibited. That will decide how much of a need must there be in order for it to be permitted to ask the non-Jew to do something on my behalf. So that's another example of where it's important to know whether the action is biblically or rabbinically prohibited. This comes up either in situations of danger, or it can come up in a situation where we're doing something through a non-Jew, and we'll see other applications as well. Sometimes it's for the sake of a mitzvah. You want to circumcise a child, we do that on Shabbos, and then you suddenly discover you need some things. So we wouldn't allow you to do a biblical prohibition in order to do a circumcision on Shabbos. But when it comes to rabbinic prohibition, so there's room to discuss. Sometimes there will be instances when it's mutter. You have a situation where people are cold at home. You need to turn on the heater. So we don't turn on a heater on Shabbos, right? But can I ask a non-Jew? So that's a rabbinic prohibition to ask a non-Jew. Yet we say, for the sake of heat, you would ask a non-Jew to turn on the heat. So here you see, there's a difference between biblical or rabbinic prohibitions. We'll see many criteria as we go along. Yes, Benny.
Is cutting the foreskin not biblically prohibited on Shabbat?
We'll discuss it.
Okay.
יש דברים שאסור חכמים לעשותם בשבת, לא משום איסור שבת, אלא משום שדומה למעשה חול. And the final point within this subject is that some things are prohibited on Shabbos, not because the act is necessarily a prohibition of Shabbos, but rather because this act causes this act is too similar to weekday behavior. Uvasiyatam nireh kilu mezalzelim b'chvod Shabbat, and in doing them, it's as though one is mocking the honor of Shabbos. And we gave many examples. That's what we discussed, leaving the TV on going into Shabbos, leaving the TV on a timer, all kinds of things that you can't put your finger on it. You can't say it's A or B or C, but it is the general desecration of Shabbos. That's the idea of uvdan dechol. Certain things that we say, you're making the Shabbos like a weekday. You're behaving as though it were a weekday, and how you classify that is a big question, because let's take an example. You want to have a digital picture frame in your house. So that's not a TV. What happens if you put a screensaver on your computer with digital pictures? That's also not a TV. Where do you draw the line, right? And what if your digital picture frame will play videos of your grandkids playing baseball? That is uvdan dechol. Well, a second ago we said to have the TV turn on with a baseball game, that's uvdan dechol. But what about the digital picture frame, right? So you understand it's not so easy to draw where you draw the line. You come to shuls, many shuls have moving screens that will tell you the time of davening and the time of shiurim and the time of nates and alos and kriyashma. That's very nice. That's not uvdan dechol. Everyone seems to agree that's okay. But again, the question comes up, and what if each one would come with a picture? The picture of the rabbi giving the shiur, right? Is that uvdan dechol? You understand this is a fine line, this idea of behaving as though it were a weekday. That you're doing an act that makes the Shabbos seem like a weekday. Where you draw the line gets complicated, but we will discuss it, Be'ezrat Hashem.